You are now listening to the EPND podcast on the Extraordinary People Next Door Network.
Who is it?
It's Brother Jason.
It's Brother Emil.
Come on in.
Word.
Peace, peace, peace. We're back with another episode of Extraordinary People Next Door podcast. We're excited today because we got two powerful sisters, some powerful queen energy. This is the second group of sisters that we've had on. We had a powerful interview with Sister Free, and we're excited to welcome Sister Maya and Sister Bells to the podcast. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
It's nice to be here.
Well, how you ladies doing today?
I'm doing amazing.
I'm feeling very powerful.
And we feel the power. We feel the power too. So just, I guess, a little background. We talked about it, but a little background. Extraordinary People Next Door is where we tell the stories of the greatness in our community and people who deserve to have their stories told. We ran into Sister Maya at a couple of One Hood events, and, you know, the sister, you know, she's powerful. And she was telling us a little bit about her story and said, we got to get you on the podcast. And she said, like, let's make it happen, you know. And I the sister is very assertive. And I compliment her on that, because that's the energy that you have to in order to get stuff done. So we're going to jump right in. All right.
Okay. Thank you so much for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So who is Maya?
Maiko, yes.
Oh, Maiko. So it's Maya Temple. That's the brand.
That's the brand.
But who is Maiko? Tell us about, like.
So Maiko is CEO of Maya Temple, Maya Temple Care, and Maya Temple Events. So we ran into each other at One Hood. I started working for One Hood in October. They found me because I had my first ever fashion show in July. It was July 26th, and it was a huge success. And it got One Hood's attention, and they asked me to help out with their events. So that's where I met you guys at, and we did our first ever podcast.
Yes. Now, I was checking out your Instagram. Now, yes. The fashion show, that was the one at the Ace Hotel.
Yes, it was.
Okay, now, that's your clothing line?
Yes, so Maya Temple is my events. So Maya Temple Events is my events business, and then Maya Temple is my clothing line. Maya Temple Care is my skincare line.
All right, so can we go, like, to the origin or the source of the passion? Where are you from?
I'm from Braddock, Pennsylvania.
Braddock.
Braddock in the house.
Yes.
Shout out to the Mom Valley.
You word know. Up.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. My actual last name is Sanders, but I love reading. And back in ninth grade, I had to read Hiroshima, which is a book about Japan. Yes. And one of my favorite characters' name was Maiko. So it always stuck with me. I feel like when you go into this type of industry, you could pick like a stage name or something that represents you more. And I feel like Maiko represents me more. It's very fierce, and I'm a very fierce person.
All right, now you also have you say you're fierce.
Yes.
That's dope. All right. And you brought a guest with you, right? A friend.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you introduce yourself, friend?
Hi, my name is Bells.
How you doing, sis?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Now, and where are you from, Bells?
I'm from East Liberty, Pennsylvania.
Okay. All right. And you how far you go back with?
We go back to seventh grade.
Wow.
So when we first met, it was in seventh grade, and eighth grade year, like, we met each other in seventh grade, but, you know, we were never that close. And then in eighth grade year, we had every single class together, like, so we just got close to each other. And
what school is this?
It was Woodland Hills Junior High.
Okay. All right, so y'all both products of Woodland Hills High School.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And now, sometimes they say that black women can't get along, right? Like, it wasn't no hating going on. You wasn't like,
No. Okay. When I first met her, I don't know. She gave me like bubbly vibes. Like, she was always smiling and happy when I seen her. So I was like, oh, she would be a good friend. You know, she always had some good energy. So I just always wanted to be around her. You know, she was just a good person. And I was like, oh, I want her in my life all the time.
It's a vibe, honey. Y'all been together ever since. Honey.
Yeah.
That's dope. That's dope. That's powerful. I know that One Hood, it pushes artivism, right? Yeah. And it's amazing how they came and found you, right? Now, me and Brother Mill were talking, and I guess activism is like a thing now, right? Being active. But so what activated you? That's I want to just go there.
You want to answer first?
Well, I feel like what activated me was I was in not such a good mindset a while ago in my life, and I chose one day to just start to think positive every day. Even though I was going through something, I would be like, I woke up this morning, there's a reason that I'm on this planet, and I'm gonna keep going towards my journey every day, you know? Every night, me and her, we focus on a chakra that we wanna open, and we all sit in a circle facing each other, and we'll just speak our affirmations out loud to each other. And it just is so uplifting. We're always in good spirits all the time. So one day I just woke up, I was like, every day I'm gonna try to do my best. I'm gonna be productive. I'm gonna do something that gets me towards my business, you know?
So, and it's, we had a conversation with another guest about the chakras, right? Am I saying that right?
Chakras.
I'm an old country boy from Detroit, Michigan. Chakras, right?
Yes.
All right, so I need y'all to, no, you good. I need y'all to enlighten me. What is a chakra?
You
want to
start? Go ahead,
babe. Okay, so this is my ego back on. But the chakras are basically like, it's so hard for me to explain, but.
I'll take your time.
And
you could just put it in layman's terms. Don't pressure. It's not no quiz and no test, but I want to get enlightened because this is the second time it's come
up.
It's
been brought up.
2 weeks in a row.
Two weeks in a row. And
I've been saying something.
It is. And maybe my chakras is out of line.
They need to be aligned.
I need to get them lined up, man. So, no, go ahead.
Can I say something? So, don't you know how you said your dad called you? What was it? It was in Spanish.
Boca Grande. Yeah.
Your throat chakra is very aligned already since you're very vocal, you know?
So it can be a positive thing.
It can be a very positive thing. Okay. You know, you just want to speak greatness into everybody and uplift them. So I just wanted to put that out there.
So my throat chakras is where it needs to be.
Yes.
I got to work on.
You guys are educating Brother Jason right now.
I'm here for it.
He's about to be just elevated to a whole new level.
I want to get
word up.
This,
that's what it's about.
Yeah.
So your seven chakras, the chakras are like energy portals in your body. So there's your crown chakra. They have very like hard names to pronounce. So there's the root chakra, the sacral chakra, the navel chakra, the heart chakra, the throat chakra, the third eye chakra, and the crown chakra. So like your third eye chakra, it would be here. That's your intuition. So when you're not aligned with that, sometimes you don't trust your gut. You don't trust yourself. You question everything. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I should just listen to myself and knew that I was right. But when you're aligned with your third eye chakra, you do trust your intuition. So it's like, living in your purpose, following what you feel is correct, you know, letting your ancestors guide you. And your crown chakra is like more just your head, like your mind.
Okay.
Your heart chakra is your love. So it's just like when they're all aligned, you're living fully in your purpose. And there's seven of them, and seven is a divine number. So that's why seven represents the seven chakras. So like every night when we do our chakra affirmations, it's like if we're focusing on our third eye chakra, we'll light our paleo stick, and then we'll like light our third eye chakra incense.
Paleo stick.
Paleo stick is like, you know what sage is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something to cleanse the energy in the room so that everything is focusing on the chakra that you want to bring to life in a line.
Okay. Yeah, so it's like that's what the ancient Africans used as sage. It was a paleo stick. So we use that, and then like we'll sit in front of each other, like with our like legs crossed, and we'll say like if we're doing our third eye chakra, I trust my intuition. You know, like my intuition always guides me where I'm meant to go. You know, so just speaking everything into existence.
Now, I got a serious question.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't gonna put all my business out there, but
okay.
I've been working on my anger, and I'm getting personal. So it's been some, mainly at home. Like generally, I have like a laid back personality, but my anger sometimes can be like destructive at home. I don't want y'all to think I ain't putting my hands on nobody.
Okay. I was going to say, now, you know we're going to be talking about domestic violence, and we ain't having that one.
I know, right? If y'all could see the look the sister gave me. But listen, I ain't put my hands on nobody, but okay. Sometimes, like, I got that blackout anger sometimes.
Yeah.
Now, will my chakras be in a line help me keep my center?
Yes,
okay,
all right.
Because I'm serious. Like, I go to therapy. We're going to marriage counseling for me and my wife. And this is something like my wife, it's something that is, I don't want to be a deal breaker. You know what I'm saying? Because I value my marriage. I value my family. Mm-hmm. But this is something that my wife is on me like saying, you got to get this in check. You know, and it's something that I want to get it in check because I don't like feeling out of control. You know what I'm saying? And I like to be in control. And I kind of like went to something that you said, Bells, that you say you were in a bad place.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And this helped you get out of that place. And that's the vein that I'm asking out of. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do understand.
Where would the anger, what chakra would that come from? Would that be more of a lower chakra?
I feel like it would come from your root chakra.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like right here.
Okay.
So when we
it's the core.
Yeah, it's the core. So we just recently did our root chakra today, and during our affirmations, we were saying, I am grounded. You know, I am moved through love. Like, you know, you just have to speak it into yourself. Like, it takes work. I understand some people feel as though us just saying our affirmations every day is just, you know, you do the work to progress and put yourself in that state of mind. But when you speak it out into the universe, that's all the energy that's around you, you know? So you're just surrounded by all good energy. So you're like, you know, what I said this morning, I'm grounded. I'm in control of my life. You know, I move every day closer to my purpose. You know, I'm healing my community, uplifting us all, elevating us all. So I'm doing what I need to do every day to bring our community to a better mindset. So I just feel as though when you speak it out into the universe, it falls upon you. Like, the energy is all around you. So, you know, you're feeling it while you're progressing to doing what you need to
and
do.
It starts with self.
Yes.
But through self and through being centered, you can be an asset to
everybody else, you know, because when some people are in a fragile state of mind, you coming around being so happy and bubbly and positive uplift them too. And you're like, right. Wow, like, you just made me feel so much better just by you being yourself, or just by you uplifting me, helping me feel elevated when I'm down.
And I'm telling you, like, that's the energy that I feel like that's how we made the connection in the first place. Because Sister Maya seemed like, hey, what are you guys doing? And we saw her like, well, this is what we doing. And our energy, you know, and it was right in line with your energy. It was like super positive.
But Brother Jay, man,
go ahead.
This sister's energy is way more at a higher frequency than ours. Yeah. So we just gotta like acknowledge
and y'all
that.
Will get there.
Y'all will get there. Everybody will get there.
Everybody will
get there.
Okay. Yes, okay. It's like, when you vibrate at a higher frequency, you attract what you're vibrating at or better. So there was a point in time when we were vibrating
so
at the same energy
frequency.
I feel like
Emil tried to come from my frequency. You came from my frequency, bro.
Oh,
but
man.
A piece of advice for you and for people who do struggle with their anger, because, you know,
That's a thing, man.
I came from I used to be angry in high school. I had some stuff. So it was just
Vaseline and take the earrings off and all that.
No, I didn't fight a lot, but I acted on impulse a lot.
Okay.
Real.
Okay.
When people played with my feelings. Mm. But one thing I do want to say is, like, when you feel yourself being angry, and this is something I still do to this day, you need to give yourself a moment.
Yes.
Before you react, you want to sit there, and this is what I do every time I get angry, because I still get really angry at certain things and certain people. So I just sit there and I think to myself, why am I upset right now? What can I do to make myself feel better? You need to sit there and really ask yourself, like, go into your mind, like, why am I mad about this right now?
Yes.
Okay, what can I do about this? Is this really this person's fault, or is it my fault? Because everything that happens in your life has something to do with you and your choices. You cannot blame other people for that. So it's like,
Preach.
You just have to sit there and really think, like, okay, what can I do about this? How should I react about this? Because it's not about what happens, it's about the way you react to what happens.
And my therapist, I'm gonna give her a shout out. Shout out to Sister Erica Givner, Visions for Peace in Wilkinsburg. Sister's powerful, man. She's online. I know she's on Facebook. But I just mental health in our community is key. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like chakras and the conversation, but she said that anger is a secondary emotion. And that's really what I have to do, is just take a moment. And I think part of this journey for myself, I promise I ain't trying to make this about me, but
I'm here, your story can impact others.
This is therapy right here. But the fact that just taking a moment and just being self-aware of like what triggers it, and before I get carried off, you know, I'm gonna tell a funny. Can I tell a story?
Why not, man?
So
we want to hear the funny story.
You want to hear my story?
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna
say something after you, because you go ahead.
I talk a lot. Man.
It's okay. So something that I wanted to say is, when me and Maya were in high school, me and Maika were in high school. Mm-hmm. We were on a council for high school because, you know, we wanted to be a part of the change that became Woodland Hills. And we came up with this movement called Take a Moment. Mm. And every time you would get upset or angry, you would want to stand there and be like, well, why am I mad at this moment? You know, why am I letting this energy affect me? You know, don't let this rage or anger that I have going on consume me, you know, because I have control over my body. I have control over my emotions, you know?
Yes.
Yo, that's deep. That I'm gonna let you tell your story though, Jay. But it made me think about my students, because I love what you guys, not only being active and wanting to be a part of the change, but it made me think about a couple students that I have that may not realize it, but they use anger as a manipulative tool. Like, I'm going to get angry so I could get my way. Like, we got to, because, you know, we collect cell phones when students enter the door.
Right.
So we got a few students that, you know, they smuggle in their phones, and I know who they are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's crazy that I got to use the word smuggle in an educational setting.
Yeah, that's deep.
But we're trying to protect. There's many reasons why they collect the phones. But let's just say it's to protect them from external influences and distractions that may not be empowering, right?
Yes.
So they come in, they know the procedure. If anyone questioned them, like, you know, all right, you went through the alarm, it buzzed, now you got to get warned. It's like they respond with an anger,
right?
But it's more like a frustration, like, y'all messing with me, get up out of my way.
Yeah.
And I peep it, it's like, you're turning up because you want to get through the situation faster. And it's like, people don't want that energy, so they're just gonna like, all right, like, get warned you real quick and not press you about the real core issue, which is like, you're actually doing something. You know what I'm saying? So
projecting the anger, you're projecting onto your anger
onto exactly. other people. So there's many, like, anger is a concept, like, we can get real deep with it, and I look forward to, like, maybe we can get into some of that, because some of it is not just, because this, like, anger can be a very good thing in certain ways, because, like, I learned that anger, like, typically anger comes when your needs are not being met.
Yes.
Now
that's deep.
For our community, it kind of remind me too about something Dr. Wesley Muhammad was talking about on the Breakfast Club, was like the way that the chemical warfare that's going on against the Black community, and specifically he was talking about how marijuana is being used to impact Black men, and in a sense
weaponizing
marijuana against Black men, where he was explaining how it increases estrogen levels in men and decreases our testosterone level, and that one of the purpose of men with why we have testosterone, or a man functioning with testosterone, they want to be in control, they want to have like leader, they want to lead, they want to make sure everything is in control, they're not going to be as passive, right? So it's like they're using that to like pacify us in a way. And I'm kind of connecting it with anger, like the things that we should be angry about, right, is like, yo, why is there the systemic poverty and oppression that my community is dealing with, and what can I do about it? And I'm gonna do something about it and not sit there idly. So it's like, in some ways we need to be angry,
right?
But it's like, You know what I'm saying? It's like,
you're allowed to be angry. It's about how you express that emotion.
That's man.
And that's.
You know my therapist? No, I'm just playing. Like, not like she say the same thing. Yes.
And that's something that you have to use. Like, some people do use their anger for motivation because it does help motivate you, and especially if you steer your anger in the right direction.
Yes.
Like, if it's okay that people do feel angry sometimes, but if you steer your anger in the right direction, it helps you get things done, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Use it as motivation.
It might connect what Jay is saying, too, because it might be a secondary emotion.
Like, yes.
I'm disappointed in the reality. Reality,
yes.
and that's causing me anger, but yes. I'm gonna let that disappointment with anger
it's supposed to fuel something
me.
Productive, yeah. You know, and not destructive. And,
yes.
And I think that I've been getting carried away with the destructive of like using words, you know what I'm saying? And you know, I don't want my children to be afraid of me, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I don't, you know, and we grew up in different eras, man, but like parenting is evolving. You know what I'm saying? And I grew up, I was scared of my father, you know? But I thought it was like a healthy fear. I respected him, I loved him, but I knew that you better not try this man. You know what I'm saying? Like I was, you know, and maybe that's like the era of parenting I came out of, but children are different now. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't just yell at a young person and talk to them any kind of way, and it's just not the era of because I said so. That's not, that just doesn't work anymore, yeah. You know. And so I have to adjust my parenting style, and I have to filter out the piece that might be destructive that my father inherited from his father. Because now I'm not from the mindset that you don't discipline your children.
It's about how you discipline them.
Yes, but let me say this. I mean, I got whoopings before. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But a lot of that comes from slavery. You know what I'm saying? And as a social studies teacher, as I study that, the way that they whooped a slave was to send a message, not just to the person that they was whooping, but to all the other slaves, that you better respect my authority. And I think that our people come from the South, man, the Great Migration, and we come out of that. And some of that negativity, like post-traumatic slave disorder, we bring from that slavery, and we pass on this legacy, like generation after generation. And so,
yes.
And so some of the things that have to be corrected, not the idea that you discipline your child, but it's like how. You know what I'm saying? And,
yes.
and doing it properly with the proper mindset and love. And some of this dysfunction that we inherit and pass on. And it's funny, I kind of joke with my dad. So, okay, because he doesn't believe in, he's like, you need to find another way other than spanking. I was like, so you waited until I'm grown? Like, I'm out of, you,
that's crazy.
When you change your philosophy? But at the same time, I understand what he's saying, because he, you know, he's evolved and he's grown, and he probably is reflecting on some of the mistakes he made with me, even though he is a great father, you know. But we all are growing and we all evolving, and our children help us evolve and grow, you know. Yeah. Does that make sense?
No, that does make sense. And one, I just want to say I'm really proud of you, because you're already thinking like, okay, I got to find a new way. I don't want my children to be afraid of me. I was afraid of my father. Like, that's breaking a generational curse. And anytime you're breaking a generational curse, it's hard, you know? Like,
right. It's
all about healing. And healing, like, yes, it's a beautiful thing, but it's a process, you know? It's ugly. There's tears. There's anger. There's all types of emotions. So once you figure out a good way to deal with those emotions, it's going to be so much better. And yes, you're going to get to the point where one day, instead of using your anger as a way to destroy things, you're going to use your anger as like motivation. Like,
yes.
When I recently got mad last week, I was so mad to the point where like I didn't respond to the person. I sat my phone down. I'm like, I'm gonna just make up some new ideas. I just got some new plans. It's all good.
Look at some of these lines.
Like, oh, yeah, I ain't going in there. But it was just like, it was, I felt so betrayed by one of my old friends, and I'm just like, I'm not gonna belittle her, because usually when you're angry, you want that person who made you angry feel to feel pain. How you feel, and you start projecting your anger onto them and saying things you don't mean because you want them to feel how you feel. And I truly believe the English language is cursed, so we might say stuff and that's not what we want to say at that moment, but that word is expressing that feeling that we have, and we want that person to feel that feeling,
right?
You know, right. So yeah, no, you're gonna find your way.
Thank you, sis. Thank you.
You're
so
welcome.
So I gotta pause. I don't know if this is, did you see Kobe Bryant just got killed? Excuse me. Kobe, look on your thing. Kobe Bryant, he died in a helicopter crash.
The basketball player.
Just now.
No.
Oh, I swear. God.
No way.
I saw that over the wire. I didn't want to interrupt the podcast. It says Kobe Bryant dies in a helicopter crash.
Man, God bless his family, man.
Man.
God bless his children and his wife, man.
That, send them love.
That is going to be like, wow.
That's horrific, man.
And it was crazy because he just shouted out LeBron last night when LeBron just passed his record.
Man, this young man was doing so much.
Wow. And you talk about growth. He grew, you know what I mean? I mean, he had some stuff like in his past, man, but he was evolving.
Man,
you know,
it's crazy, but once again, shout out and rest in peace to Nipsey. It's like, yes. Now this is, you know, and they say like when you finish your mission here on this earth, God call you up.
Yes.
Mm.
When you're really just living in your purpose, when you're really just living into your purpose, that's whenever it is your time. So I feel like death is one of those stigmas, especially in the black community, where we mourn it instead of appreciating, instead of celebrating that life. Or sad. It hurts to let someone go, but it's beautiful the fact that they moved on to the next life because they served a purpose in this life.
Yes.
They elevated to that next
man. That
reality.
Brother talks so much about greatness and work ethic
and motivating and his community. He uplifted them.
Yes, and even that goes to like the sense of urgency that we have to have while we're here. And
facts.
To somebody like, when are we gonna get this interview done, brother? Like, okay, we're gonna schedule it right now, or we're gonna schedule it. Like, that's, we gotta take advantage of every moment. And you know, I appreciate Brother Emil, like a couple times, you know, we both kind of have gone through like little pockets of like where we kind of, you know, need a focus, you know what I'm saying? And that's the blessing of having the community to hold us accountable. So we're going back to activism. We want to bring it back. What activated you all? Sister Bells was saying
about how we were in high school and we started the Take a Moment movement. So it was when Woodland Hills first brought up 7th and 8th grade to the high school. And there were fights every single day. Kids were really fighting every single day.
I heard y'all lunchroom was lit. I heard y'all lunchroom was off the hook.
Every day. So Miss our principal at the time, Miss Negi, she tried to come up with a board of high school students to help the younger kids get together, you know, figure out where all this anger is coming from. And so when me and Maya were on the board, we were brainstorming this one day, and we always tell ourselves to take a moment and take a step back to realize why I'm feeling this way. Why am I trying to let this emotion affect me, this energy affect me, you know? So we came up with the Take a Moment movement, and our principal ran with it. You know, she put it out there, and I'm pretty sure they did use it, the Take a Moment movement. But that's how we got started in activism. And then we were in all these groups in school, and we took trips to this school named Ellis, and it was an all-girls school, and we were just talking about activism there. And then we got this opportunity to go to Swickley to talk to their school, to their students as well. So we were in activism a lot in high school.
So I got a question. What do you attribute, like, what were all the fights about? Was it like neighborhood beef or just what was going on? It was just a negative energy.
I just feel like some of the energy from the kids came from things that they probably had going on at home.
Right.
Other energy was from some kids who, you know, are bruder to other kids because they have a lot going on, and that's how they express themselves through anger.
Right.
So it was like, you know how somebody will say something to you and then another person doesn't allow anybody to demise them in any type of way. So they'll react with anger right back to them, and fighting fire with fire doesn't, just creates more fire, you know? So they were just fighting every day, and
right. Woodland Hills, you probably weren't there when this probably maybe happened after you all left, but were you there when the principal grabbed the boy up and they
yes.
y'all were there?
Yes, we were wow. in high school then.
Okay, so can you describe what happened? From what I heard,
we actually had a very angry principal at the time. So okay. this is before
I already had a reputation.
Yes, or okay. this is before the principal that we dealt with, and I'm gonna tell y'all a story about her. But okay. Mr. Murray, he had a lot of anger, like literally on our morning announcements and stuff, like he would scream at the top of his lungs on the microphone, like, any more fights today? I mean, any more fights? You are done, or no one goes to the bathroom. Like, he was just, like, anything he had to tell us, he'd yell it, okay? So it was like, we already have this leader, this man who's leading our school, showing us anger is correct. Mm. And then they're mad that everyone's fighting. But there were so many different stories. We don't know which one's accurate. We were in a school during that time period right. when that happened. But basically, he was angry about Ahmad, this guy who was just, he did have a smart mouth. But it was like one of those things where I feel like when you have authority, you absolute power corrupts absolutely. Yes, you cannot disrespect. You can't abuse your power. Right. And I feel like it's also to the point where we as Black people are so oppressed. So it's like hearing some white man yelling in your face and telling you something. Yeah. And you think what I'm going through, and Ahmad was going through some things. So it's like, you think I'm going to be going through something? I'm going to come to school and you're going to talk to me like this? Mm. So I feel like that right there was fire with fire. And then Mr. Murray just let his anger take a toll on him. And that's when he put his hands on Ahmad and... it didn't end good.
And that was it? Somebody got a video or was it audio? Of
I think it was from the security cameras.
Oh, it was okay, a security camera.
Were you aware of that?
I did hear about
okay.
it.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So also something that was really huge whenever we were starting our activism was, in general, for me, my spiritual awakening started my senior year. Same for her, because we kind of like progress at the same time because we're so close, always with each other and learning new things. So when we would go around school, it got to the point where we started feeling everybody's energy so much. When people would fight, it would just hurt us to the point where we'd be crying and stuff. So we would start seeing like little girls arguing or someone in the bathroom crying. We would start talking to them, you know, uplifting them, giving them advice. So we just started to think like, you know what, we need to use our voice at a higher segment. And that's when we started like doing different things. We got to do this thing for this board meeting for the school where we were on the news for the first time. So stuff like that, it was like, oh, this is good, like people really listen to us. And then we presented this kind of put a dent in our activism, but we presented something to our principal, and she was on our side, like she supported everything we did. We told her these good ideas.
Now this is the principal that replaced
Mr. Murray,
okay.
But she also got replaced, and we're going to tell you why about that,
okay.
Which is also something that has to do with our activism. So we went to her about a certain idea, and it was to take a moment idea, and, you know, all these little positive things she told, and we asked if we could have an assembly about it. She told us no. A week later, she had an assembly about it, and it was our idea. We sat in there so angry.
Didn't give us any credit, and it was like,
and chose other students to present it.
We don't want the acknowledgement of it, but it's for the simple fact that first you took our idea,
why do you think she did that?
I don't know.
I feel like she just felt intimidated. Like, this is a good idea. I'm not coming up with anything at this school. And these two girls are really, we were elevating at a very high frequency. Like, we were doing something new every new week. We had so many different opportunities.
So she literally took your
idea. It was intimidation. Yes.
Take a moment.
Yes.
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 And had other students present it. So
like, we were in class, and they called us for an auditorium meeting down at the auditorium. And we're like, Miss Nagy just said we can't have any more assemblies anymore. So, like, what is this assembly about? This screen pops down, and, you know, she gets on the stage and starts talking about the Take a Moment movement. And we're just like, why aren't we in this? And it's not even like we don't need the acknowledgement. It's just, you could at least ask us to be in the assembly as well. And we asked you if we could have an assembly, and you told us no. So it was just like, she just had problems like Mr. Murray did. And I just feel like people who are going to be an authority of an entire school full of students that you have to elevate to put them out into the real world, you need to be in the right state of mind for that job.
But go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking like Pittsburgh, I think like this equity study came out, like, I want to know, like, what neighborhoods do Woodland Hills serve?
Edgewood, Swissville, Braddock, Rankin, Turtle Creek, and
East Pittsburgh, yep. North Braddock, yep. Chalfont.
Yeah. And these are Churchill. Like, these are like neighborhoods that, you know, when you come to Pittsburgh, kind of like historically, the neighborhoods that you hear the most about is like the Hill, the North Side, East Liberty, like in Loma.
Yes.
You know, you don't hear as much Wilkinsburg. You don't hear as much about these communities in the Mon Valley.
Right.
But like, can you kind of like share, because you said you grew up in Braddock, can you kind of share like what is going on out there for youngins that's growing up? And
Honestly, like, I feel like, and even in our senior year, we lost so many students, like, we, like, to gun violence, like, so much anger going on in our communities. Like, for example, Antoine Rose, that was our friend. That was literally our friend. We graduated with him.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that. Go ahead. Where were you at, like, when you heard about him?
So first, I was after graduation, and the crazy thing was, Miss Nagy, that was our principal, and that's the one who took our idea. She didn't like Antoine. And he was very smart. He stayed out of trouble. There was a lot going on in our school. So everybody sold weed, ate edibles. She wanted to catch him selling edibles, and he didn't. And she was mad about it because it was actually his white kid that was selling like these weed gummy bears.
Right.
And she just knew it was him because he was the only black guy in that class. And that smart AP class, he's like, there's no way none of these people are doing it. He got to be doing it. She couldn't catch him. So she did something petty, and she didn't let him walk for graduation because something wasn't completed on his senior projects. He didn't finish like one thing, but he had all good grades and everything. So since he didn't get to walk, you know, it was hard for him because he's worked so hard his entire high school career for him not to be able to walk across that stage. So I feel like that caused him to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
I'm gonna tell you, that is so heavy, because I remember when I went to his funeral, right? And they brought his, I think it was his AP English class. Were y'all there?
We didn't. We weren't there.
It was. I think it was the AP English class where all of the students came up there, and just the narrative, like, it was just a short circuit, and like the narrative that they were trying to portray about Antoine versus like what you were seeing. This dude was a bright young man.
He was so smart.
Brilliant.
And the nicest person.
I'm telling you, you all are putting a piece together, like connecting the story of like a dream crusher. You know what I mean? Like,
she crushed it.
Right.
Like,
and that's deep, because that's important to the narrative. Because I was just thinking, like, what could this boy have done, man? Like, this young man, he was brilliant, man. I mean, and that's all that people had to say about him. But just one thing, like you say, a moment can really, like, change the whole trajectory, man.
The whole thing. When we found out, we couldn't even believe. At first, we seen the tape or something. They were like, someone got shot in East Pittsburgh. This after we already graduated. So we're like, who's that? And then they say, Antoine? We absolutely couldn't believe it. And it was all these different stories. And then it got to the point where, like, we didn't know what to believe, because it's like, we kept losing people close to us during our senior year because of the gun violence. So it's like, it was kind of numb, but we were immune to it. So it was just like, we're hearing all these stories, and I'm like, is this true? Like, did he really do this? Did he really do that? And then I remember this one day, like, the second I stepped out of my strength and was like, Maybe it was true. Because, you know, like, it was so, we were just being so oppressed and so pushed to this, like, this story about him that wasn't true. And I knew it wasn't, but I'm like, maybe it was. I just lost all hope.
He was trying to convince you that it
is. They just kept doing it. And I'm like, this one night I had a dream, and Antoine came into my dream. And he was like, Maya, I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And it was just so powerful, because I never even seen him like that. So when I woke up, I'm like, okay, I feel better and I feel at peace. But this is after he passed away. And it was like so hard. We were so mad at Miss Nagy, and she was like at some of his stuff. So we didn't go to none of the funerals or anything, because it was just too hard. Because we knew what she did to us.
It was fake, right?
And it's like, I felt like it was because of her.
I truly do. I'm going to tell you. That time in my life, Jimmy Wapo got killed the day before.
And
XXXTentacion. That was within like an hour of each other. Jimmy Wapo and then X got killed. Like, those came over my, you know, like the news feeds, you know.
June 18th.
Yep.
That was June 18th, I believe. That was the day.
And then the next day was Antoine.
He died on June 19th.
Wait, so
I believe it. Let me.
Because that is an African holiday.
It was a Monday. It's
Juneteenth. Yeah.
Jimmy Wapo and X got killed
same day.
It was a Monday, and then I believe that Tuesday was when it was either Tuesday or Wednesday when Antoine was killed.
Yup, June 18th.
That was when Antoine was killed.
Well, no, June 18th is the day that Jimmy Wapo and XXX lost their life. So I think it
was
the next day.
I think June 19th was when.
Let me look it up.
Yeah. And I just feel as though another reason why we couldn't go to Antoine's events was because Miss Negi was putting on this persona that she was this great person to him and that she treated him with the utmost respect when she knew that she didn't. Like, wow. You know, it was like when you work so hard for something and it just gets taken away from you. Yes, it's going to make you feel some type of hurt or some type of pain. And, you know, I just felt as though he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And
yes.
It was the 19th.
It was the 19th. Wow. Now, what day is Juneteenth?
19th.
June 19th.
That's
yep.
what I was saying.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That wow. is crazy. Now,
it's like in the history of that holiday is like celebrating and commemorating the fact that there was communities of enslaved Africans that were not told that the Civil War had ended right. and that
they were
the
free.
Institution mm-hmm. of slavery was no longer the law of the land.
Yeah. Wow, so like, did you all participate in, it was like the swirl of protest and it was, I mean, the city really erupted. Like, I mean, that was like an emotional time for me. And I'm telling you, that was the point where I pulled away from social media because
I had to take I don't know. I just feel as though for me personally, being around a lot of sad people, I just feel like I absorbed all their energy and it just makes me feel an overwhelming amount of sadness. So when I'm sad about somebody passing away, I'll speak to them myself on my own time. You know, I'll talk to them and be like, I'm glad that you fulfilled your purpose on this planet. Right. And I'm sorry that you can't be here today. You know, like how I speak to my ancestors when I do my affirmations and everything. So I just couldn't be around all of the sad people. And then there's people that I know. And then I've seen Antoine's face. Like, you know how you hear about police brutality and everything. And it's like, it hurts you because it is people who are a part of your community and your race. But when you've seen somebody every day, you've seen their smile, you've seen them laughing, you've seen them joking around, you've seen them, you know, and they're no longer here. It just really breaks my heart. So I just couldn't be around all the sad people absorbing all their energy. So, you know, I did talk to Antoine myself. And after Maya told me about her dream, you know, I talked to Antoine myself, but I didn't have a dream about him, but I did talk to him about everything and going on. And I was like, I believe you. Like, I know that you wouldn't be in that situation. Like, I know what they're making you out to be is not who you truly are. Right. You know, you were a good person. You were the sweetest person I ever met, you know, smartest ever, brilliant. Like, you know, you were going places and we will keep your legacy going, I promise you, you know? So I'm proud of his mom for everything that she's doing too.
Yeah,
so,
shout out to Sister Michelle. Yeah, yes. Y'all see her on the Breakfast Club?
No, I didn't. Y'all heard about that? Yeah.
She was on the Breakfast Club, man.
Really? Congratulations.
Dope, man. Shout out to Sister Michelle.
Shout out
man.
To you.
She is dope. And I'm gonna tell you, she's another one that ain't about the phony business. Like, she calls, like, when people are like using the name or trying to
use him for something.
Yo, she steps right in like
you're not about to use my son for whatever you're doing.
I seen her do it like on a number of times, man. She is for real, you know. And I'm gonna say something, even
fierce black queen. That's what she is. Fierce.
Yes, she is fierce. But even the young brother who, whatever the chain of events was the day when they was in that car.
And we knew him too.
Right. Who is going to speak to the conditions that produce the conditions that two black men, that's the only avenue or that's the only outlet, whatever they did, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's conditions that produce this reality for young black men. You know what I'm saying? And when I sat there and went to the stuff with Antoine, I was there because this could have been me. This could have been you. This
could have been my nephew, my cousin,
yes,
my brother. It could have been any one of us. You know?
Yeah. So, wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's crazy to me because another thing that kept us away from going to these things is like she said, the fact that we were so close, seeing him every day, knew him, knew who he was as a person, and we were just seeing so many
like it was, it's like being overprotective. It was like we seen people just trying to use his story to, you know, like get attention and like fake protests about him and stuff, because it was deeper than, oh, this is just a black man. This was really someone's child. Like, right. I'm so tired of us being defined by our skin tone. Yeah. It's just so oppressing. Like, even when he passed away, like, that's all he was. But if a white, when white men pass away or, you know, shoot up the school or get shot or get killed by someone else, it's like they're not, oh, this young white male, it's his name. Yes. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's not what he has done in his life. Like, nobody was speaking on what Antoine actually did, and it's just so terrible. But I am proud of his mom, where she went. And I feel like that's another thing that motivated us to get back into activism, is like, now we're ready. Like, we're ready to speak for him. We're ready to speak for all the young black men and women who don't feel like they have a voice, you know?
And I just feel as though when it comes to social media and everybody broadcasting, when it has to do with white people and shooting up schools and stuff, they always emphasize on their mental health. But when it comes to black men, and that's not even doing anything,
that's true.
They make us out to be the aggressor of the situation, you know? So it's like,
with no regard for our mental health.
No regard for our mental health ever.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That is 100%. Yeah.
Yo, that's deep. I mean, it seems like you guys had an amazing high school experience. And when I say amazing, it doesn't necessarily connote totally positive, but that you guys were advocates for your community. You guys were advocates for yourself. And then you met institutional co-opting, where it's like they're going to take what they could use out of your advocacy, and then, but not really bring you guys to the leadership level where you guys are empowering you guys to really be the change agents, to really make sure that what y'all was standing up for
is known, that this is what we stand for. Yes. And it's okay that you want to join in on the movement or the conversation or even in the ideas, you know, but we should be leveled up with you. You know, we're going back to Ms. Negi, we should have been on the auditorium stage with her advocating this movement, because I feel as though when it comes to students talking to people their age, they're most likely to listen when it's coming from us than from an adult, you know, because it's like they're from the past, you know, all they know is traditional. Like, you know how some parents are still very traditional, and there's nothing wrong with being traditional, but it's like they're more strict on them. And it's like, that's not how our generation is as millennials. That's not, we're more carefree and more open. So we'll be able to listen to our peers about situations like this. So it's, you know, I'm glad we got back into activism.
I had a dope conversation with my students Friday afternoon in my class. And it was like, because it was our last day of the semester, our classes are switching. So it was really like a power circle where we kind of had a healing moment. And it was a gratitude vibe where we was thankful for each other, thankful for the class, thankful for the conversations that we had in the class. And students started to open up and started to talk about, you know, traumas and things that they carry in the school. You know, I had one girl talk about, you know, how, you know, her older sisters, they moved back home, and, you know, now she has all these additional responsibilities that she has to basically be like, she got a parent, her parent, and be the responsible one for the older siblings that, you know, are back home. And then she's like, that's why I come to school and I act childish and do this and that. Then, you know, other students is like, I didn't have my mother or my father there holding me down. And it's like, they kind of like was able to identify that there's all these things that is barriers to them really taking the educational experience and opportunity 100%.
They're showing their true potential.
Yeah. From showing it. And, you know, for me as an educator, I know that without the healing, we're not going to really be able to maximize. This is like this educational paradigm. It's called Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Right.
And it talks about, like, it's a pyramid. And at the bottom is like physical safety. Then the next level up is like emotional security and like belonging. And then it goes up to like self-esteem in terms of like maybe being good at something. And then it goes up to like, the final level is like self-actualization. Like, so unless you have all of these other components, like, you can't even get to the point where you can really self-actualize. And, you know, I hear that that's such an important thing, and I love the therapeutic vibes that you guys are bringing and healing yourselves. And, you know, I want to build with y'all of how we can support this type of healing. And I think it'd be powerful for you to meet with some of our students,
yes,
particularly the young Black girls, and build with them about, you know, healing. And it's something they already in tune with. I want to switch to a question, though, because I don't think that was a question.
Okay.
But you guys were raised with a Christian type of vibe? Christian?
Yes.
So how was it, now when we start talking about chakras and, you know, ancestral connections and affirmations, these are things that we're not necessarily taught through traditional Black American religion. Like, what was it that got you guys into, like, maybe some ancient African and Eastern types of philosophies?
You want to go first or you want me?
Oh, okay.
Well, first and foremost, growing up on Christianity, I never felt right, because I felt like every little thing that I did was against the Bible. I felt oppressed. I felt like every Sunday I was going to go praise a white Jesus, and I hated my skin tone. I hated everything. And once I, it wasn't until the summer of junior year going into my senior year, I just started realizing a lot of different things. Like, I knew that there was God. I knew there was a higher power, but Christianity wasn't it. I feel like Christianity oppresses our people, because everything about it is, when you look deeper into it, there's just things about it that's so demonic, so demented, not normal. And I feel like once I tapped into self and realized we are all connected, we are all one, like, I feel like that has helped me so much understand myself and forgive. Because I feel like with Christianity, people are only being a certain type of way because they want to go to heaven. They're only being nice to people for a reward. But when you just take that away and you step into your spirituality, you want to be nice to people because you know how that feels. You feel love. You want to be love. You want to share love. You want to touch people with your love and make people feel how you're feeling. And that's how you elevate. Like, I feel like once I turned into that life, everything about me has changed and progressed and grown and flourished. And I think it's so important for us to learn that, because in the Black community, that's the reason why we don't have control over our anger. That is the reason why we don't know how to love ourselves. That's the reason why we project our insecurities and internal battles into each other, and we keep those generational curses going because we were not taught about how to fix those emotions inside, those internal battles, being locked in that internal prison. But once you free yourself, like, you're powerful. And I feel like Christianity stops our power. Like, I'm not judgmental. You can be Christian. That's fine. If that's what works for you, that's okay. And I'm not going to say you're wrong or you don't know nothing, because that's being egotistical. I feel like I came from Christianity, so who am I to judge anyone who is? But I know for me, what works is this. And I think that's what has taught me a lot.
That's powerful.
Bells, what was it? Okay, go ahead, Bells.
Okay.
She was over there snapping, like,
because she hit every point. She hit every point. Okay, so personally for me, when it comes to Christianity,
okay,
I feel as though, like, the religion never sat with me right when I would read the Bible and just listen to the preacher in church. I mean, and yeah, in church preach about everything. It just never sat right with me. I would look up, because I'm a gazer. Like, when I'm listening to, like, a lecture or anything, I can hear you, but I just gaze off, because it's how I pay attention and it's how I absorb all the information that you're giving me. So I would always look around in the churches, and I would never see anything that reflected me. So how am I? So in every other religion, like for Asian people, their God looks like them. For Indian people, their God looks like them, you know? So, and it's like, even for white people, your God looks like you, but your ancestors forced this religion upon me. And then it's like, you took my religion and twisted it into yours. So it's like, when it comes to our spirituality and how we do things, it's like some people, they'll have like traditional clothing on, and then they'll have like liquor and their paleo sticks and everything. And it's like in church, the white priest, they'll wear traditional clothing and they'll have wine and like the blood of Jesus and everything, you know? So it's like, you took our religion and then made it into something to oppress us with. You feel me? So it's like, I could never sit right with that. In 11th grade year, my summer year, is when I came into my awakening as well. And I felt as though that I need to believing that I am a part, I am a God. Like, you know, I'm a part of my higher self. So if I live in my truth every day and spread love and be happy and elevate other people, I will soon fulfill my destiny. And, you know, I will leave an impact on this planet. So, you know, I just want to, you know how Tupac said, like, I might not change the world, but I will spark the mind that does change the world. So it's like, even if we don't make that big of an impact in this world, it's just we elevated everybody who can make an impact, because we are millennials and the generation after us. I feel like this will click for them if they learn it while they're coming up, you know? So
I got a question just to follow up. How was this awakening received by your parents, your family?
So for my mom, my mom was a very traditional mom. You know, she was very strict. You
old school.
I didn't. Yes, old school.
Shout
I didn't.
To all the old school moms.
Yes,
man.
Though,
I
because she made me who I am. I feel like I'm very mature for my age. You know, I just, yeah. So I love my, thanks, mom. You know, shout out to you, girl.
Shout out to the mom.
Mama Angel.
Mama Bells, man. Mama Maya.
Swear. So my mom was a really traditional mom. So, you know, she was very strict on me. She focused, like, her mind was where school education is your outlet. Like, she trusted my passions now, because she showed that I showed that I can really not just make profit, but elevate everybody and bring the community together with what I'm doing. So she trusts in my passions now. But before, you know, she was like, school is your outlet. So, you know, she was just very traditional, and she was just a real traditional mom.
I don't know. So my whole family, like I said, they grew up on Christianity. I did. But the thing about my mom was, she was Christian, but one, the thing about Christianity, like, other people who do stuff, like, they made us think that everything is, that we practice is sinful, we're witches, whatever. So my mom is, like, so weird, because she's so Christian, but she got saved, she did incense, you know, she meditated, she did affirmations and stuff like that. So when I first got into it, she was just like, she was a little creeped out. She's like, why, what is wrong with you? You don't believe in God no more? Like, she took it personal at first, but I started to notice the impact it had on her, because she'd be like, oh, Maya, I did my affirmations to the full moon tonight. And I'm like, okay, mom, yeah, you liked that, didn't you? Like, and then I don't know, like, I feel like at first she didn't like it, but then she started to take on my traits. So, like, you can impact your parents. Plant seeds.
Right.
They will grow.
Right.
I think that's just what it was.
And I'm going to say this. I was raised in the church.
I was too.
But I had to give my church, my dad's, where we went, a shout out. They always try to come from a Afrocentric or African.
I was literally just like about that. To comment on that. So right. My dad's mom, I'm not even gonna lie to you. When I was younger, I used to have these really bad migraines that would consume, you know, it would feel like somebody was pounding on my head consistently, and I couldn't be around light, sound, or anything. Mm. So every time I would go over my grandma's house, y'all, I thought she was a witch. I was a little scared of her, because she always had a cure for something that I had going on. So it's just her being that way. She was still religious, but she wasn't Christianity. I don't know what the religion she believed in was called, but it started with like an A or something. But, you know, she was still connected to her roots, and that's what I feel like I got from her. Okay. Me knowing her and being around her, she always helped me heal. So that's what I wanted to do for other people, because I know there's some people who have problems with their migraines like me. You know, I want to be able to have something that will help you heal.
Was she apostolic?
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's literally that's it. So
you tuned right into that. You knew?
Well, I just kind of like was thinking about the A and then the Christianity. I think apostolic is kind of similar to Pentecostal.
Okay.
Very hands-on, catch the Holy Ghost. Right. You know, laying of hands, am I correct?
Yes.
I felt like a chakra moment, man. You was right on it.
Yes, literally. Yes. I was like, wow, he literally just said the word that I was just trying to say. But when it came to my mom believing in everything that I do now, I just feel like she is absorbing it, because she did have a lot of problems with opening up with her emotions. So it was like when I showed her how open and happy and truthful I can be to myself, I just feel like it rubbed off on her, and she is starting to practice what I preach, you know. So
I'm gonna say this. I'm a Muslim, Brother Mills, Muslim, and just you two are helping me with the journey that I've gone with my oldest daughter, who's 18, finding herself. And part of my anger is I had to look at, maybe I'm a misrepresentation, or maybe I'm not the best representation of what the lifestyle that I'm trying to instill in my children. And I have to say, like, this is their life to live. You know what I'm saying? This is their journey. But I, you know, just taking that, opening up my mind to that has helped the journey with my daughter. And, you know, I learned from her. I'm sitting here, you know, we had a good conversation. And sometimes, you know, I just want to learn, because I don't want to be dogmatic. Don't want to be ritualistic, but just want to deal with, like, you know, similar to what you said, like, whatever is getting somebody's life together.
Yeah.
You know, whatever positive influence, because when you really get to the essence of it, it's like a universal thread of positivity that that is there. You know what I mean? And I think that the universal thought kind of helps bring it all together. And I try not to be like closed minded, because a lot of times church, mosque, you know, it can get set trippish. You know what I'm saying? It can get like gang bangish. You know what I'm saying? And I think that that's why a lot of young people are turned off, because you're saying that if I'm Muslim, I can't get anything from, I can't learn about the chakras. You know what I'm saying? Right. Or if somebody's in the church, stay away from them. You
it's
know what
the
I'm
limitation
saying?
That religion puts on you. Like, there's Amen. Nothing wrong with having Amen. A set religion that you, this is your higher power that right. you believe in. But it's okay to believe in. I feel like the point of religions are for you to take something from everything.
Right.
And to absorb stuff from other religions, because it's okay to want to understand how other people live, because maybe one thing in your religion isn't working for you as much as you would like it to. Right. And this, like us talking about our chakras, might help you with your anger, you know? So
and,
it's like,
and that's why I asked, because it's not about what you preach or profess. It's about what's your life like, you know what I'm saying? Because that's the billboard, you know? And that's why, you know, me and my wife had a discussion. She said, all of this that you are trying to teach about the good of, you know, Islam, you're going to turn people off if you can't get this anger thing under control. And I said, I didn't want to let that happen. You know what I'm saying? Because I believe in, you know, what I believe in, but I got to figure out a way to, you know, deal with this piece of me, this misalignment of my chakras, whatever it's called. I need to get to the root of that, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, that's important. And that's why I'm seeking knowledge from, and I ain't, the knowledge don't have to come from somebody from the mosque. The knowledge, I mean, the world is our classroom. You know what I'm saying? And I think that, I don't want to put them in, but people that are older, you know what I'm saying? I'm not old, but more seasoned, you know, that's why I love working with young people and teaching, because I'm always like honing in on like, what can I learn from them? You know what I'm saying? Because y'all are the ones that, you know, just when you talked about the negative space that you were in, you hear it in the music, you know what I mean? And like Juice WRLD and
it's one thing, that's why I was talking about before when we first started the podcast, the yes. music that you listen to is yes. what the mindset you will be in. Like, okay. I understand that some sad music will get you through your hard times, but if you listen to consistent sad music all the time, that's where your mindset will always be. That's where your energy and your vibration levels will always be. So I try my best to listen to uplifting music that opens my mind into thinking that, you know, I am one with myself. My mind, my body, and my soul or a line, you know? So it's like, just I feel like the music that you listen to really takes a toll on your mental health as well.
Okay, so perfect segue. I wanted to ask, like, me and Brother Mill, we both music guys. What is the soundtrack to Maya and Bells? Like, who do y'all, who some of the people y'all rock with? And
okay,
you could be old, new, what, take us whatever.
I'm gonna just start with Willow Smith. She opened my whole okay. spiritual awakening. Okay. Willow Smith for sure.
I say Willow Smith as well, and I feel like this group called Oshun. Like, I'm telling you, I'm telling y'all,
I'm familiar with Oshun.
Okay.
Their music, I gotta get up. Their music is so uplifting. It just, like, there's this line where she says, "My mind, body, soul is on fleek." You know how girls will be like, "Yeah, my eyebrows is on fleek." It's like, it's, she's speaking to the younger community while still speaking to us, letting us know that we are one with ourselves. She says things like, "I plant my seeds and water them so they grow, and I shine my light so I can reap what I sow." You know, so it's like,
that's a bar.
Things, yes, it's that's things like bar. That that makes me feel the way I feel every day. Okay. And even when I'm in like a sad state of mind, I do not listen to sad music when I'm in a sad state of mind, because I feel like it's just the energy that will surround me is just complete sadness.
So Oshun.
Oshun.
Okay.
Coda, the friend for the guys, because yes, he impacts us ladies, but I feel like he speaks real stuff for Coda, the friend.
Coda, so the friend.
He says the realest things, like, and it empowers young black men.
Heavy bars. He's out there. He's out of Chicago, right?
Yes.
He's hard.
I think he just opened a studio in Philly or Harrisburg or something.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
wow.
For young artists and everything.
He's got bars, and he got bars of self-empowerment. He's dope. Like, he reminds me of the same like vibe and energy like a Mick Jenkins, Chance the Rapper.
Well,
like
I love Chance
like
the Rapper.
Like a YB real.
And Corday, y'all mess with him? Yeah. YB and Corday?
I never heard of him.
He's an MC. He's a lyricist. This guy is a lyricist too. Shout out to YBN.
Yeah.
But yeah, yo, Coda the friend. A lot of my students like him. Yes. You know, and like you said, you can assess someone's mental health based off what they're listening to.
Yeah.
Also, everything that you speak becomes. Yeah. Your thoughts are powerful. Your words are powerful as well. So that's why we do affirmations. And if you're singing sad stuff and you're saying that, putting that to the universe, you're going to attract that.
I'm going to tell you, I don't allow any self-hatred bars in my classroom. Like they be rapping, I'll be like, nah, you gotta dead that. I don't do the N-word. Like, you know, and I'm not saying, like, me and Brother Mill, we come out of the toxic hip-hop era. You know what I'm saying? You know, so I'm not acting like, you know, my playlist is, you know, gospel bars, anything like that. But it's real. You know what I'm saying?
We got some Jay-Z in there.
And that has
some
place.
We got some music.
You got some Meg in there?
Megan Thee Stallion?
Yeah.
I'm not even going to hold you. Yes, I do.
Maybe a couple times.
It's just, I don't know. It's,
for
it's
balance,
like,
it's like...
It's just like if you're in like a dancing mood or like if you're going to a party, like music's okay.
Or
to
is
play.
It like embracing your sexuality and like the power of your sexuality?
I mean, I feel like that's where like her, Megan Thee Stallion, like Sweetie, Nicki Minaj, that's how they feel about themselves. That's how they feel empowered. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with women expressing themselves that way.
Deep. So she's saying that's how they feel empowered. So that might be one of the ways in which they're comfortable expressing their
sacral chakras aligned.
Hold on. Now,
the sacral, that's the sacral, that's the
low. That's your sexual chakra.
Sexual chakra.
What's it called?
Sacral chakra.
Yeah.
Okay, now.
S-A-C-R-I-O? Yes.
S-A-C-R-A-L. Sacral.
Hold on. Wow. I was on your page, Sister Maya.
Owen.
on the Instagram.
Okay.
And you had a collaboration. P something, your body is your art. What's
oh, so I have a shirt.
I did my homework, right?
So, this is when I first started my clothing line. I did a collab with my friend Anasia, she's an artist, and her artwork is out of this world creations. And the quote was, I don't know if it's going to be sensitive. Pussy is poetry, a woman is art.
Okay, that's what I wrote it down, and then I couldn't get to it on my phone. But okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was like at the beginning. I mean, I changed from that type of mindset, of course. But there's nothing wrong with that either. But yeah, that was in the beginning. Yeah. And it's like a picture of, because I do feel like religion is like a template for people who cannot handle. With spirituality, you learn a lot of stuff. Like, it's mind-blowing. Your ego is killed. There's none of that. So it's like, I feel like religion is for people who want to take it at a slow pace. And I feel like there's feminine energy and there's masculine energy. I feel like God is the masculine energy. The universe is the feminine energy. That's Mother Nature. You know what I mean? So I think that it's okay. Like, so the pussy is poetry, a woman is art. The artwork is this woman. She is an Afro, because I feel like black women, is where everything comes from. We are nature. We are God.
Facts. So no doubt about it.
First woman.
It's like it's like a huge
the
afro.
Mother of civilization, right?
And she's sitting there, and her like legs are open, and where her vagina would be at is the earth. So pussy is poetry. A woman is art, as in like we're art. We create everything. We are the creators. We can bring something Amen. Into this physical Amen. World. You know, Amen. Like so. That's where that came from, but okay, yes.
That was heavy, like I was saying, that was heavy. I had what's the sexual chakra?
Sacral high.
Sacral. I had to make sure my sacral energy was right. You know what I'm saying? When I was like, okay. Yeah. All right, now that's deep. That's heavy. I was going somewhere, but no, that's powerful, and that's powerful that you the expression of it all, that's heavy, that's powerful. Can you talk about, I feel like as we, me and Emil are teaching, some of the relationships in that young people go through, especially in middle school, I'll say, their hormones are kind of like coming alive,
yeah,
but they're mind is a little bit underdeveloped and childish, and so they're talking about and they're exposed to very mature concepts, right? Mm-hmm. And talking about relationships and hooking up, but their mind is not like as developed or where it should be. But you know, like some adults' mind is not developed enough to handle a relationship. Can you talk about domestic violence in like relationships between young people?
Yes. So,
did I hit a nerve?
No, okay, no. Because okay. This is something I do want to openly talk about. Because okay. It's important. Like, for one, I feel like domestic violence comes to the younger generation first, because when you're really an adult, you kind of know what's going on. Yeah, there's still women and men who are in domestic relationships right. as in adulthood. But when you're in your teens, you don't really know that that's what's going on.
Right.
And, it can come from, one, you might fall into an abusive relationship because you're being neglected at home, or there's something that you're lacking internally that your parents are not giving you. You try to find that in someone else, and they manipulate that power they have over you. And I also feel like social media kind of normalizes a lot of things that are wrong. For example, people think it's cute whenever guys, oh, my boyfriend won't let me break up with him. Like, I broke up with him. He said, where are you going? You're not going nowhere. You're not leaving me. It's all fun and games until when you really want to leave because they're being abusive and they're not letting you, or they're holding you hostage, or they're like putting their hands on you, they're hurting you. And then you just, I don't know. It's a lot, but there's so many red flags and so many different signs that you have to pay attention to. And I feel like when you're already going through things at home, one, I feel like young black men are they just naturally have a lot of anger going on because they got so much put on them, and then they go and project that onto the girl that they're with because they think it's okay. And then the girl might be used to it because they're seeing their mom go through it, or they're being neglected at home and they're just like, well, he loves me, you know? So I just feel like as long as we heal our community, yeah. I feel like that is the cure to domestic violence, is love and being aware of it.
And that's why I shared what I shared like at the beginning of this conversation about my anger, because you know, anger being a secondary emotion. And I think a lot of times our young men are just looking for an outlet of respect. You know, they want to get yeah. their respect, and they feel disrespected, and they really are, you know, kind of project, you know,
all their frustrations onto their girlfriend. Sometimes people, like, I don't feel like anybody really means to project their anger onto anyone, and sometimes it really does get out of hand. Right. Like, verbal abuse is really bad as well. I feel I was verbally abused before, so I just feel as though it's very demising to your mindset, and just really makes you feel as though what they're telling me is the truth, because it's all that they keep saying to me. You know, they can never come to me with any positivity. You know, they can't come to me with any love unless they demise me first, you know? So it's like, I just feel like if we really do heal our community, heal our young men and our young women, even if somebody is still like that, they won't stand for it. They will notice right. all the red flags and walk away for themselves.
Right. Couple more questions.
I wanted to like ask, like you mentioned about social media, mm-hmm. and I wanted to like, the pressure, do you feel like the young people feel pressure? Like, it seems like people are so open with their relationships and so public about it. The fact that a girl would share that, like, oh, he won't let me leave, like, ha ha, like, kiki, yeah. Like it's cute, but like, is there this social pressure? And I think that's part of it. I think that it's like, I'm 16, I'm 15, 17, whatever, and I'm cute, I'm feeling myself, and I'm out here on social media, and then I have to broadcast to the world that not only am I attractive, but someone else likes me, and that's, it's almost like that public face of it, like, is more important than what happens behind the scenes.
Yeah, I feel it, I really feel as though, not to go back into music, but I feel like some music nowadays normalizes relationships like that, yeah. Making it seem as though just because maybe he might show you off or do stuff like that, saying you're not leaving me, it makes it feel like you're loved and like somebody wants you to be secure, when in all reality that's not security, that's manipulation and them wanting to have control over everything that you do and who you talk to or what you wear or things like that, you know. So
like even liking posts from other people,
like that's like, not, I don't feel as though that's serious. Like, right. If you're not, if I feel like it's okay for a guy to have female friends and support them with their businesses and everything that you're doing, but there's a line that you just don't cross. And if everybody has respect for each other, right. And how you're coming to each other, everything will be okay.
It kind of ties into that conversation, that healing conversation I was having with my students, and they what really got it going was that they started sharing about their relationships. And part of me, I was like, I'm in my 30s. I'm like, really, is it that serious that y'all are so consumed and get so passionate right. about talking about y'all relationships? Like first I felt like, are you repeating the scripts that you've seen the elders in your life, like your parents,
right.
you know, write, and you're just like recreating that script from your own lens? And then the other part was like, man, what about just learning yourself for these next yeah. few years, and then
attracting a person who's meant for you yeah. to come into your yeah. life? Yeah. And that's another thing that we have to heal from. I feel as though some women and men see their parents need others in their life, and it's like, well, this is how my mom has been her whole life, and you know, you take upon things that your parents show to you when you're growing up. You see how they're, what they do and how they move, and it's like, well, this is, you know, is what you know, so it's what you do. So I feel like if we heal everybody from those traumatic events that has happened to them, or anything traumatic that they've seen, or make shape their reality or their opinion or perspective on anything, they won't be so consumed in relationship. And it is okay if you get in a relationship, but as long as it's real and it's genuine, like right. everybody has an expiration date in your life, and it's, some people try to hold on to people longer, and it's just toxic, you know. So a lot of relationships that you go through is a lesson that you need to learn for what you need to stand for, what you need to not stand for, what you can absorb and what you need to deflect energy wise and like people wise. You got to notice the red flags in everybody, and yeah,
that's dope. So recently, I think last year, maybe this year, it was not.
No, it's okay. You were talking. Good. Yeah. I was just listening.
You're getting off, bells. Go ahead. Like, you ringing. Listen, there was a recent study that came out about, it was the equity study in Pittsburgh. And basically they said that if you took the black residents in Pittsburgh and took them to any other city, in all categories, their life would improve. And it was just basically like a condemnation about the life and opportunities here in Pittsburgh for black people. How do you all feel like how do you feel about that? And like, what do you think the opportunity for young people here in Pittsburgh?
Yeah. I feel as though opportunities are hard to come by. They're not hard to come by because they do flow to you. Like, you know, all opportunities will come to you. But I feel as though if you're not in like a certain group in school, or you're not in a certain friend group, you don't get as many opportunities as other people.
Okay.
So like, I feel like sometimes Pittsburgh would favor other schools over like opportunities. Like, I don't feel like Willing Hills got really many opportunities to network with other schools or anything. Okay. Like, there's this school named Kappa, you know, it's an art school, so they're all automatically given all these opportunities because it's what they go to school for their passion. So I feel like just because I didn't go to school for, you know, I used to play the violin, I could have went to Kappa for playing the violin, but just because I didn't go to Kappa, I feel like I want to probably get an opportunity to play in the orchestra or something like that. So I feel like sometimes some opportunities are hard to come along, but doing podcasts like this helps people connect and network with everybody. So I feel like the more events that go on, the more you uplift your community and everybody gets to know everybody, it'll be more opportunities will flow to everybody else.
Any like, okay, go ahead, Sister Maya. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay.
I was just going to ask to add on to that, like, how can we leverage social media? Because it's crazy how many people know each other off the book,
right?
Facebook, right. But like, I don't know if that platform gives the same amount of life and space for young people to really build this positive sense of self.
I feel like Instagram, because for me, I use a lot of hashtags, like how you were saying before. So I will do stuff like, I got an opportunity to be in the Carnegie Mellon fashion show because I use hashtag PGH designer, hashtag Pittsburgh, whatever. And I'm like, oh, how did you find me? I don't go to Carnegie Mellon University. I'm not even in college. So she was just like, oh, well, you know, I looked up a PGH designer wow. hashtag and I found you and I liked your work and I wanted you to be in it. And I think it's also about creating opportunities for yourself and not taking no for an answer. We did not get a lot of opportunities in Woodland Hills for activism. Kappa got so many and we were like, dang, we wish we went to Kappa. They're doing everything we want to do. So what we did was we didn't take no for an answer. We're like, all right, we could still do stuff at our school. Let's come up with some ideas. Let's go to different schools. And that's how our activism really started. But also like, whenever I wanted to have a fashion show, I wanted to be in one. I didn't know how I was going to do that, but I just remember being in Cleveland and seeing my cousins. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. This is what I want to do. I'm like, you know what? Like, if I'm too young to be in one, it's going to be this challenging to find one to be in. I should just have my own. And me having my own brought out more opportunities. So sometimes you got to take that extra step instead of sitting there saying, oh, man, there's nothing going on in this community. What am I supposed to do? Like, Pittsburgh sucks. Go ahead. But if you just take, there's a lot of support in Pittsburgh. If you take that support and you are confident in what your passions are and you have tunnel vision and you see that goal, you can achieve it. Those people that said, don't do it. Even my grandma was like, Maya, I think you just should just stick to the online thing. Like, this is going be too expensive, like, you know, you're doing all this by yourself, yada yada yada. I'm like, dang, is my grandma right? Then I texted her like, I'm just in my feelings because my grandma told me I shouldn't do my fashion show no more.
You found your venue, you got all your ideas together, got all your models, like, and everything, like, it's coming together. It's just this is some type of negative wave trying to hit you to bring you back
and
down.
You said that that's how One Hood
that's
saw
how they
you
found me.
And
that's
they reached
how,
out to you and then that's yes. how we met you, you know what I mean? And so, like, I feel like, I mean, you answered the question. I mean, I feel like we have to overpower that. And yeah. it's going to be what we make it. And we just interviewed a brother, and he said that he feels almost like a renaissance, like what took place in the Harlem Renaissance, a Pittsburgh Renaissance. And when I see, like, on Twitter, you know, just all the activity in Pittsburgh, and it's positive, and it's powerful, you know what I mean? And I think that it's ours, you know? And I think that, you know, tapping into the young people, and that's the future, yeah. So you got anything else, bro?
I want to get y'all sisters to come to my school and
We are going to do that, yep. Yeah. What's next for...
I was literally waiting to tell you guys this because, yes, we're definitely going to come to y'all schools. So, like I said, our senior year, we kind of quit activism. One, we were coming into self-realization, realized life was deeper than our race. Like, our identity is not African-American, I'm this, I'm that. Our identity is who we are and inside, our souls, our higher selves. So when we quit activism for a little bit, because Miss Nagy kind of crushed her dreams when she did that, we were like, dang. But
I'm about to find Miss Nagy.
She really needs to catch these hands. But we decided, I'm just kidding, catch these hands as in prayer. But we decided we're working on a peace campaign where we're going to go around and have different, send different messages, basically, and talk about our spirituality and how it can impact your life and change your life and basically put people onto what we do every day because it worked for us.
Y'all put me on. Word. I'm about to go like, yeah, I need a book or something. Like, yeah.
Yes. And we're also, I have a fashion show in March 28th, A Trippy Night in the Matrix. And we're Trippy Night in the Matrix.
A Trippy Night
Deep.
In the Matrix.
Deep.
Yes.
And what's the date on that?
March 28th.
March 28th. Now, I was just talking to Brother Mill. Maybe Can we set up the podcast there?
Of course, you guys can.
Broadcast live.
Yes, that would be amazing. It's gonna be really dope.
Nah, I don't get trippy no more, man. But
no,
used to survive.
No, no. Sister Maya knows, because once you're at frequency and you're vibrating at a high frequency,
that takes us on a trip.
Bro, you're
we're going on a trip. Yes,
you can naturally trip.
Okay, all right, not
that's what we do.
You can naturally trip. I'd be feeling high a lot, man. Yeah,
me too.
Yes,
and I'm talking about just the frequency of this conversation.
Got you uplifted.
Got me up. Yeah.
So, I'm glad.
A trippy night in the Matrix.
We have another fashion show coming up in February.
Okay.
Battle of the Beasts. It's also going to be tying
into Battle of the Beasts.
Yes, it's going to be tying into Domestic Violence Awareness Month, because our segment is going to be Medusa. Medusa was a rape victim. And everybody hates her because she turns men to stone, but it's because Zeus was with Athena, and Athena got jealous that Zeus cheated on her with Medusa, and that's when she put a curse on her to turn into stone.
Wow.
So we're doing this thing about it.
What's the date on that?
That is February 22nd. It's going to be at Mr. Small's Theaters.
Okay. Yo, that's dope. I almost see, you got to have a live action skit in there, something like.
We are. It's going to be really cool.
It's going to be crazy?
We're Medusa, yeah.
The artist. So
wait, don't give him too much.
Okay. I just wanted to say,
spoiler alert,
there's going to be three forms of Medusa. So you'll see her in three different lights. So
and that's that healing.
And
process.
That's the healing process. So it's going to be a beautiful.
So we gotta work to get them over before, so we're gonna work on that like ASAP.
Okay.
So that you can kind of tell our students what's going on.
And then the students can come and invite the students. And I definitely want to invite you guys to come to the youth chat on Hip Hop Ed.
Yes, we already planned it when you were telling us about it. We're like, oh, we gotta be over there.
And then I had another question too.
Go ahead.
I love this thing about the Battle of the Beast and
A Trippy Night
in the Matrix. And that's dope that y'all talking about the Matrix, because are you tying it into the whole philosophical aspect of the movie and how we're living in the Matrix?
It's not based off the movie. Okay. It's crazy. I never seen a movie, and I do need to watch it. But basically,
it is heavy.
I took a spiritual trip in like August, and I realized a lot. And I wanted to display that through my work, like show people how my perspective is. And each designer is going to basically, their set is going to be them showing what their brand is, where it came from, their universe. Because I feel like we're all living in our own universe and our own journey. We're just in each other's journey. But this is us showing y'all what our journey is in the Matrix. And you cannot get caught up in the Matrix, because if you do, you're going to be angry sometimes, or that's getting caught up in the Matrix, negative things, you know?
Right.
So that's what it's kind of about.
You should check out that movie too when you get a chance.
Yeah, and it's really like, you chakra energy. I mean, like you really have seen the movie without it before you even watched it.
When you say you went on a spiritual trip, mm-hmm. Was that like an ayahuasca type of vibe or like a psilocybin type of vibe?
Yeah. Okay. I do believe in psilocybin. Now, I'm not judgmental for people who do drugs, do acid or whatever. I personally don't think acid is natural, but I do feel like psilocybin, since it's a mushroom and it grows, it's natural. And the Native Americans actually use that for the 13-year-old men. They'll put them in a forest and leave them there by themselves and give them psilocybin for a full night so they could find their purpose on earth.
Wow.
Is that peyote?
No. That's the mushroom. That's
the magic shrooms.
Yeah, that's the psychedelic mushrooms. Now, interesting, and I'm going to tell this to our viewers. I just watched this morning on, this is how aligned we all are, but I watched this morning on Netflix, Gwyneth Paltrow has a company that she started called The Goop, the G-O-O-P. And she has this Netflix special kind of talking about the healing work that her organization does, and they do energy healing
and they use this and mushroom?
One of the episodes was about them going on a psychedelic trip for healing from traumatic experiences.
It is very healing.
So, you know,
that's deep, man.
And they have other documentary type medias out there that people can watch about this. It's not like she's the only one doing it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's one that you can quickly find. It's probably going to be on your recommended feed on Netflix, but it's The Goop, and it's the first episode, and they go on a They go on a yeah, they use, you know, these things can be used, and I like how you're touching into the natural.
Yes, because it's not, people do it as a party drug, but I really feel like as a respect thing, you shouldn't. And once you take it, it's not like one of those things that, it's a true psychedelic. Psychedelics are made, are here to elevate us. So it's like, it's not something you're addicted to. You do it once, if anything, it could take you away from addiction. Because if you give that to someone who's like addicted to smoking weed every day, they do that one time, they're not gonna want to touch nothing ever again, because it's that healing, is that powerful. And I feel like weed is also psychedelic when you don't smoke it. If you eat it as an edible, it gives you the same type of psychedelic purposes as shrooms, not as extreme, but I feel like it is the same. But I feel like when we smoke it with tobacco and stuff, like that takes away from the psychedelic purposes. It causes addiction. It's bad for you.
Anything. So I feel as though it's okay if you want to use weed as a psychedelic if you want, but I feel as though you should eat it instead of smoking, because any smoke that goes in your lungs is mucus causing anyway. So, you know, so it's like it takes away from the psychedelic purposes of the weed when you smoke it, because of all the mucus that is causing for the smoke to go into your lungs.
I hear some Dr. Sebi.
Dr. Sebi, yep.
Dr. Sebi.
Yes.
I hear a lot of that with the mucus. So, y'all sisters really have so much knowledge. But see, this is important for educators out there.
Yes.
Like, and the traditional school system, where can we teach our young people about the powerful healing components of the drugs that are available to young people? Like, a lot of young people are smoking weed, but they're not tapping into maybe some of the healing power of it. Because
they're using it to cope from the traumas that they're going through. Some people do use weed as a relaxation drug to like calm their anxiety or anything like that. And it can help calm your anxiety, but I feel like it's way more than that.
And I'm gonna tell you, in the schools, the way they use medicine to medicate our children, there has to be a more natural way, you know. Yeah. And because I mean it's a school nurse that goes around to the rooms at the beginning of the day, and a lot of, you know, the children in my classroom are some children that that according to what somebody told their parent, that's the only way that they're going to get through their day, is to take this
like
drug.
When people have an ADHD and everything like that.
Exactly.
Yes, my brother used to have that, and it was just harder for him to concentrate in school. So his doctor had prescribed him this medicine, and my mom noticed that it changed his whole persona. Like, he never wanted to eat or anything. Yes. So once she took him off of the medicine, it was like he just, all people need is just a little extra help. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that at all, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like society puts a weight on people to not ask for help, because it makes you feel less intelligent than somebody else if you don't know the answer. So there's always help out there.
And
so
then we also need, you know, better diagnoses. Right. And I need you guys to become certified therapists and healers that you
We're
guys...
We're on the way.
You know,
that's a chakra thing, like
and
you
I just
in,
well
bro,
no
like,
they're doing it, they're already doing
yeah,
it
no, 100%.
They're already doing it. So the question is, and this is the problem for somebody like myself, is that like when I want to go and find a therapist or I want to do some healing work, I don't want to go through AGH, you know, I don't want to go through Highmark. I don't want to go through UPMC. I want to go off network with someone that I trust, that they can assess my reality and have a better intuition into, and they align with my reality more. And I think that that's something in the Black community that we don't, you know, shout out to all the Black therapists that's out there doing the healing work. And we're going to interview
Sister Erica.
But that's something we don't, you know, because a lot of our young men, we need healing, you know what I mean? And then it's like, how do we do it? And even somebody, you know, whether they're gonna, you know, we just need like alternative options.
Yeah. I just feel as though standard medicine that's supposed to help you will only help you for some amount of time, but it causes way more problems than it helps. Yes. So me personally, with my migraines that I had, I took this medicine named Topamax, and it gave me short-term memory loss as a side effect. So it was like, why are you prescribing me this medicine? I understand that I do have migraines, but why are you prescribing me this medicine that affects my blood, I mean my brain function and everything way more than it's helping me? So
And I think that that's really the purpose of the podcast, to kind of like take it all home, that we got to get you all's voices out of here. And as people here, just to make these connections, because it's so much power in Pittsburgh and beyond, you know, that people need to hear y'all's story and the other stories. And it's our mission to tell them, you know what I'm saying? So with that.
No, I got one more.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, bro.
All right. Come on, Brother Jay, man.
I'm sorry. My chakra.
Listen, man, I gotta get it all right now, man.
Chakra. Go ahead.
I had another question, because I'm just really floored at how impressive you guys are, just spiritually, you know, intellectually, and just your whole presence and vibe, you know. So shout out to y'all for that.
Much appreciated.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I did, about the relationship and the domestic violence, I did want to say, I just watched this Kevin Gates and Drika Gates interview on Everyday Struggle on Complex. I think you guys will like that. I'll share with you guys offline.
Okay.
But I wanted to ask you guys, you said, Mai, that you're not in school, not in college. Can you guys just talk to our listeners about that decision and how much pressure is on millennials and your young people, you know, out of high school to go to college? And like, how did you guys navigate that and feel pressure? And how did you like have this determination to not have to conform to that and go your own path? And, you know, not that that's the only path that's there, but
definitely.
Yeah.
So I really feel as though it goes back to the sense of parents being more traditional to push college onto their kids, because it was the way that they made the profit for them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like older generations, their creativity was taken away from them younger than ours were. You know, us seeing everybody on social media being entrepreneurs and everything, it lets us know that if we have the will and the power to do it, we can. If you have the talent and everything, and even if you don't have the talent, you can learn. Like, I was not no professional sewer once I first started sewing. So you can learn your talents and advocate your business. So I feel as though you just have to be able to make a profit from what you're doing. It just comes into the sense of breaking it down every day. So like, if you're going to work a 9-to-5 job, how much money you make, if you break that down to making a certain amount of money a day, it doesn't seem as hard. So making $44,000 a year, if you make like $115 a day, you'll reach that goal as well. And you're not working a 9-to-5. You're working for yourself, pursuing your passion that brings profit into your house. So it's like, it's okay if you want to go to school and get a degree, but you'll be working for somebody else. I just feel like if so many people can work for themselves, if you find something that your community needs, as in taxes, if you start running a tax business or real estate, because everybody needs somewhere to live. Like, if you tap into those necessities of your community, you can use that to fund your passion. So,
or clothing, like you guys. Clothing, you know, health and skin and beauty products.
Bonnets. Everybody needs bonnets to keep their hair together. Like,
get
so.
Get them
Bella Bees bonnets.
Bella Bees bonnets.
So for me, it was hard. My mom was really hard on me that I didn't want to go to college. But my senior year, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And it's scary. And it was hard because, you know, like, both of us were kind of on the same path the whole time, because we were always together vibrating on the same frequency. So we were both like, we don't really know what we want to do. And seeing all the other, you know, seniors in our class getting their college acceptance letters and, oh, I can't wait to move into my dorm. Even seeing them move into their dorm, it was like, dang, like, you know, I was like, maybe I should have went. But I knew that's not what I wanted. And I had a bigger vision. And I feel like as long as you, regardless of what your parents say, because they're going to tell you, they want the best for you sometimes. So all the time. So it's like, they're going to tell you, you need to go to college, you need to do this, you need to do that. But college, it does not lead to success all the time. If you feel like you can do it, you need to go do it. Network, you know, set yourself up so that you can do it. But I just feel like if you don't know yet, don't put yourself into debt. Give yourself time, gap years, all of that.
And I mean,
for everybody.
Right.
And
the beautiful thing is, if that's something that you want to do down the line, college ain't going nowhere.
It's not going nowhere. You can always go and do it. Like,
right. But just self-awareness and understanding like where you are going. That's that's priceless. You know what I'm saying? And that's really worth the bag up front. You know what I'm saying? Just doing that front end work even before you step on the college campus, because you can waste a whole lot of money, man. Believe
a
me.
A lot.
Yeah. So can we wrap it?
We can wrap it up.
All right. Can you where can people find you all? This first of all, this has been a powerful conversation. I got some ideas that I want to talk to you about when we launch, kind of like bringing them back for a live, and we can kind of like just do a live before we like launch the actual episode. But
we would love that.
Yeah. We here for it. So that's where can people reach y'all on social media, all platforms? Because we want the word to get out about a trippy night in the Matrix and yes, Battle of the Beasts. All right. Go ahead.
First and foremost, before I tell you guys my Instagrams and stuff, I just want to let everyone know you can go to all the therapists you want. You could argue with all the people you want. You could fight all the people you want. You could do whatever you want. But what you have to realize is you could take all the medicine you want too, and you could smoke all the weed you want. But you can only heal yourself. No one can heal you but you. So you need to take the initiative to do that on your own and find yourself and learn yourself and love yourself. My social media is maya.temple. That's my clothing line. Maya Temple Events. That is my events page. And then My Eco Souls is my Instagram. It's MYEKOSUOLZ_. And yeah, that's where you can find me at.
So I want to do a closing statement as well. I just feel as though everybody needs to take the initiative to bring yourself into a higher state of mind. Even if you're not feeling it when you wake up, always speak positivity into yourself and let yourself know that you let yourself know that you love yourself every day. Look in the mirror and smile, even if you're not feeling the best. But you guys can find me on Instagram. My name is Bells Thy Queen, BELLZTHY Queen. And then my blog is Angel XO Peace. And then my business is Bella B. So yes.
All right, powerful episode.
Yo, thank you.
This might be our best one, bro.
Oh man, thank you guys.
Yeah.
We're so glad that we knocked at the door and you guys let us in.
Come on in.
Yeah, fact.
Yo, you never know who's next door. You never know.
Extraordinary people.
Yeah, definitely.
Next door. Shout out. You can reach us at EPND Podcast. At EPND Podcast on Twitter.
Yep.
EPNDpodcast.com. If you want us to interview you, you want to tell your extraordinary story, we'll pull up. Just hit us at EPNDpodcast@gmail.com.
And EPND Podcast on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
Okay. There it is.
All right. Peace. Love y'all.
Peace.
Peace.